Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life, real talk about real life. This is the show that you cannot afford to miss. This is Tough Talk Tuesday, the time where you get a chance to get your rant and your rave on anything that you want to talk about in regards to your finances, what you don't like about the economy, education. This is your chance to get your rant, your rave on. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. I would like to welcome you all. The chat room is open, as well as our phone lines. I'm going to give you a chance to get the number early. It is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. We have a great show for you in store. Some of you all have emailed us since last week about what you wanted to get your rant and rave on our Tough Talk Tuesday. But before we get started, we do need to take care of a little housekeeping, and I'm going to play our disclaimer. So just hold tight, and we'll be right back with you right after our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, now we've taken care of our housekeeping, and if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday. This segment is about real talk, real life, no holds barred discussion about the financial pitfalls that we find ourselves in and how we can fix them and end our financial nightmare, face the facts, and tell the truth. This is what it's all about on Tough Talk Tuesday. Some of you all have already emailed me early last week because you had a rant that just could not wait. So I'm going to read you some of those, and then we're going to dip into our chat room as well as the phone lines that are holding. And we're going to talk about why is it that the school system is crying broke when millions of people play the lottery every day. What the hell are they doing with that money? That is a good question. Then after that, someone else wrote us and they wanted to know, why the hell can I get a job unless I am bilingual? I thought we were living in America. Well, you know what? That is also a very, very good question. And last but not least from our email, we have someone who wrote in and they said, a relative has stolen my identity and ran up $25,000 in credit card debt, $3,000 in utility bills, and bought a car in my name. What should I do? Well, you know what? We're going to answer all of those questions as well as take your phone calls and answer those questions that are in the chat room as well. I'm going to start off and by allowing you to call in right now. If you are one that has a rant or a rave that you would like to discuss tonight, the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And I'm going to start off with area code 815. How are you this evening?
Oh, hey, good evening, Diamond, and how are you?
I am doing fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Would you like to take a stab at answering some of our email, or did you have a rant of your own that you wanted to talk about?
Okay, well, my rant is really the same as one of those that you just mentioned about being bilingual and getting a job. You know,
okay.
And what I would like, you know, I truly believe that America has been secretly invaded. Let's face some facts here. Who ever heard of some people migrating from one country to another, and these people migrate to, the citizens of that country are then forced to speak the language of the immigrants? You might as well say you're getting forced
country.
To get a job unless you speak Spanish.
You are correct in that. I don't know of any other country, to be honest with you, where the immigrants who migrate to that country and the indigenous people are forced to learn the language of the immigrants. I have never heard of that except for in America.
And see, and the thing, and it's important, something else I would like to know is that what is with this learning to speak Spanish? There is not, I do not believe there's one Spanish-speaking country on this planet that is in the money.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to go where the money is, hey, look at China, look at Japan.
Well, I can definitely understand
Korea.
That. I can definitely understand why you have a rant and a rave on that. And just like the person who emailed us and they wanted to know, why the hell is it that they, if they want to get a job, they have to be bilingual? And they thought that this was America. Well, my answer to that is, unfortunately, a lot of companies have that policy. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it is right. Even in our school systems, it's the same thing, where you have some actual certain schools that is the language that they're speaking, and they're supposed to be learning English as a second language. So they make certain provisions for these particular students, just like on the job as well. And you made note that you felt that we were being invaded. Let's add some more people to our conversation. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. We're talking about Tough Talk Tuesday, and this is the show where you get a chance to get your rant and rave on. Tonight, we are talking about various topics. The number one on the list was, why the hell can I get a job unless I'm bilingual? I thought this was America. So we're going to add some other people to that question before we move on to some other important questions. All right, area code 312, you are on the air. Thank you for joining me. Hello.
Good evening, Diamond. How are you?
Good evening. How are you? Did you hear our question, or do you have your own rant and rave that you'd like to talk about?
Well, actually, I have my own, I guess you could say, sad rant and rave, but it is still one.
Okay. Let's hear it.
We have a couple that had been married for 19 years. The husband received an inheritance from one of the relatives.
Okay.
And there was, from the wife's point of view, there was really, she didn't think they were having any problems. Until one wonderful day, she came home, and he didn't come home at all that night. And so she went to the bank and found out that he took his inheritance and all of the money in the checking account.
Excuse me?
He is gone. He's totally gone. He has vanished. He quit his job. The money is gone. The house in Country Club Hills, she can't meet the mortgage because all of the money that was in the account, he took. I mean, every dime is gone. So she reported him. It is a police report. They are looking for him. But in the meantime, her 13-year-old and her 7-year-old daughter and her are officially living in a shelter.
Oh, my God.
That is
wow. Let me recap that. You said that a couple was married for 19 years, and husband received an inheritance. And as a result of this, one day decided not to come home, and they have not heard from him. But he also cleared out their bank account.
All of their money, every investment is gone.
Wow. Well, I mean, she did the right thing, one, by getting some, you know, seeking out the authorities to find him. Hopefully he's in one piece before, and I'm hoping that they find him before she finds him, because heaven knows what she might do. As a result of that, that is a really unfortunate set of circumstances. Oh, my goodness, I cannot even imagine. Most people would actually go ballistic.
Yes, but the thing I want to kind of realize, this can happen with any gender, but we, our society, and things have so much changed, and we need to have the his, the hers, the our bank account.
Well, that is my philosophy anyway, that you should never just have it where one person has complete access to the funds and you don't have any recourse whatsoever. You know, you should definitely always maintain, and I say this on all of the shows, you must maintain your own resources as far as some kind of banking, whether you use a credit union or a bank. You definitely need to utilize those institutions and sit down with a personal banker so that you can get a handle on your own finances. You should never let one person be in control of what happens to you, because unfortunately, even though this is a drastic situation that has happened to this couple, where the husband has taken flight and taken all the money, but it could be anything from where one of the couple, you know, whether it be the husband or the wife, takes ill and the other person has to have some kind of financial wherewithal within how to keep things together. And not only that, but if another, what if the person happens to, you know, pass away, heaven forbid, you still need to be able to have some kind of financial knowledge in order to keep your family together. So good luck to them. I hope that they find him, and I hope that the authorities find him before she finds him. But that is an excellent rant and rave and an unfortunate set of events that has happened. But if you just joined us, today is Tough Talk Tuesday, and we want to hear from you. It is your chance to get your rant or rave on and get some of these questions that you would like to have answered, or you just have something that is definitely on your mind that you would like to talk about. We're talking about the financial pitfalls of bad economic decisions and how to fix them so that we can end our financial nightmare. We've had several emails this week, and one of which we talked about, which is, why the hell can I get a job unless I'm bilingual? I thought this was America. We actually got someone from Facebook. They made a comment and said that they're definitely listening to the show, and the majority of countries all over the world, they are bilingual. Unfortunately, Americans are kind of late to the game as far as adding second and maybe third or fourth languages. A lot of all over the world, they are learning. Their children are learning multiple languages in elementary school. So although we don't like it, it is a matter of fact that a lot of jobs are now requiring you to be multilingual, not just bilingual, but they want even, you know, you get greater advances if you're even multilingual. It is a unfortunate series of events, but it is definitely true that I guess this is what is happening, especially with the Latino American people here in the United States. Their numbers are growing vastly. So, you know, I don't know why in America you have a lot of different nationalities where they actually had to learn English, you know, like the Polish, they had to learn English, the Koreans, the Japanese, you know, Chinese, Italians, all of them had to learn English, but, you know, we're forced to learn Spanish, and they're also forced to learn Spanish as well, and some of them already know it. So I guess, unfortunately, that's one of the things that we just have to get over and learn the next language, even though this is America. I know a lot of us are not happy about it, but it's a fact of life. Here's another question that we got from a chat room, and they wanted to know, why is it that the school systems are crying broke and millions of people are playing the lottery every day? What the hell happened to that money? That's a good question. Let's see. We're going to add another phone call here. Area code 847, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Diamond.
Hi, how are you? Did you hear the question?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what are your thoughts, or do you have your own rant on that?
Well, I like both the questions. The bilingual issue is a very interesting issue, and as you pointed out, this is one of the few countries that's industrialized that isn't bilingual, and now there's a necessity to be bilingual because of the large Hispanic population. When companies want to market to these people, a lot of times they're going to have to be able to market and do business and sales in the native language, and that's going to be very important. And it will be helpful for our students to become bilingual, to learn another language. Learning another language facilitates learning other languages, too.
Well, I definitely agree with that. 815, would you like to comment back on what the other caller or even what the person that was in the chat room, what their comment was about having to be bilingual? Even though this is America, you are forced to learn another language.
Okay. I would be in agreement with learning another language, but the problem I'm having is, like I said, why Spanish? And the thing being, the most The understanding I have, and I don't know if this is true, but I have heard about, I've also read this, that most of the immigrants are really way undereducated people. And the thing being is that, like I said, where is the money? How many high school students are going to end up in South America or in Mexico doing business?
Well, they'll be doing business here because the Hispanic community is the largest growing minority segment in the United States.
I do agree with that. They are producing like crazy, but that's the only thing they're doing is producing. Their dropout rate is like mad. They have a very high dropout rate. They almost, matter of fact, their dropout rate, I do believe, is past that of the African American dropout.
Well, here's the deal with that. The reason being because there is a deficit when your native language is one, and then the language that you're forced to learn as a second language is a new language to you. So because the school system is primarily in English, and even though they do have, English as a second language, as a part of the curriculum that is available to Spanish-speaking families, the thing is this, is that you have to understand that because it is a new language and their children, for them, they're probably the first ones speaking or learning English. So when they go home, everything is in Spanish. So when you don't have that support system, it's just like any child. If you don't have a strong support system at home with the parents, because the educational system does require parent participation in order for any child to be successful. So the dropout rate is one because, one, there is a language barrier. There is not enough support for Spanish-speaking children where the school system, they're trying to provide this. But it's so many of them and not enough resources in which, they're trying to make everything in Spanish and English. And if you listen to, I know I have children that are in school. So when there's any communication between the school and home, we get both Spanish and English. And they're really trying hard to bridge the gap, the educational gap between those who speak Spanish and the ones who speak English. But it's very, you have to realize that that takes time. And just like we have a huge dropout rate of African American and in other minority groups, you have to, it does take time in order for those things to alleviate themselves. And it's not going to happen overnight. So let me keep this going. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. It is Tough Talk Tuesday, and you get a chance to get your rant and rave on about any topic. We do have a few topics that are on the table at the moment, but you can call in or join us in the chat room. The phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. For those of you all who are just holding, thanks for your patience. And those of you all who are in the chat room on Facebook or tweeting me at the moment, I will get to your questions. But let me first repeat the last thing, the topic that we were talking about prior to the language, which is the school system is crying broke. Millions of people are playing the lottery. Where the hell is that money going to? That's our next topic that we're going to talk about. I'm going to open up the phone lines, area code 708. You are on the air. Thank you for holding. Hello. Okay. Let's go to our next caller, area code 773-988. You're on the air. Thank you for holding. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
That's great.
You guys were talking about the money from the lottery and where it's going.
Yes.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I can tell you, I mean, half of the politicians probably don't know where it's going. But I will tell you this, I believe myself that the lottery, one of the reasons that they actually started with the lottery was to help fund education. But unfortunately, that's not happening as far as the money. So we have to, like, kind of go a little bit further and ask ourselves, you know, who is being held accountable for any of the budgeting practices of the state, local government, regional government, and national government, for that matter. Who are we holding accountable for anything that they promise and then don't deliver? How do we even begin to hold people accountable? How do we find out where the money is going anyway?
I can tell you this. I did a little research because, like I said, someone emailed me last week on this subject, and I did a little research, and it says how much of the money that we spend on lottery goes to education. As the school systems struggle across the nation, this is the budget breakdown, okay? 32% of the profits from the lottery goes to education. 57% of it goes back to pay out the prize money. The rest is embarked to cover commission for retailers who sell the lottery tickets and other operational costs. Last year, the lottery combined actually contributed $439 million to state education. But the state spends about $5 billion. That means that the lottery's contribution is less than 10% of the state educational budget. So we are over budget, even though the lottery money is there. And so because it's such a small amount, what happens is in the educational budget eats up so much, it seems as if it's only like 1%. When you're talking about that they're only spending $439 million, and the schools spend $5 billion, so that's just like a drop in the bucket.
Well, let me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to ask you another question then. If the real basis for education is picking particular subjects, these subjects already have curriculums. Most of them, I mean, there are new subjects being added, of course. But most of these subjects have curriculums, they have books, they have the Internet and a lot of other methods for delivering this education. Why is it costing so much to deliver the education and we're not even getting a high-quality education compared to other countries? Where is all this money going? And, I mean, the average African-American, or should I say inner-city youth, basically gets a substandard in education anyway compared to the suburbs. The $5 billion that they're spending per year, is it going to the suburbs? I mean, how is this money being dispersed? And I mean, I know you're not an expert, but I'm just saying.
Well, I've actually done a little research on that too. And unfortunately, it is not being distributed evenly. It is not. A lot of it goes to the administrative cost. The actual cost of education, not in the classroom education, but the cost of the building, the cost of the administrative staff.
Yes, services.
And the services, exactly. So a lot of that is eaten up by the hierarchy, if you will, and then it dwindles down to the classroom. By the time it gets to the actual school level, it's not very much left. And this is exactly why you have the teachers union that is fighting and the parents' associations, whether it be a PTA or LLC or PTO, they're fighting for more funding on the classroom level. And,
okay. You
know, they're really trying to do some educational reform. And anything, of course, when it's introduced, it's going to take a long time before that actually happens. And it is a fact of life. It is unfortunate, but it is true that we have to go through so much bureaucracy just to get the simplest things done. you know, even on city government, like you said, at what point do we and who do we hold accountable? You know, and that is a good question because each individual school have their own budget. And this is why it's not evenly distributed. You may have a school that is in an impoverished area. You would think that that money, because it's much needed there, would go there. That's not necessarily so. It depends on exactly who's in charge, what their budget needs are, and whether or not the principals, the LLC, the teachers have actually put forth the effort to look for outside funding. These suburban schools and magnet schools and actually specialty schools where they have the charter schools, they actually seek out additional funding, not just from the state, not just from the school board, but they have a very strong parent and community involvement. If the community is not taking initiative, then it's not going to happen. It has to be more than just the kids, more than just those parents. The community itself has to invest in the school. And if they're not, then that's where their problem is.
If you don't have a truly educated community, it is going to be hard to get participation in the school system because, let's face it, they did not educate the people before them. I mean, the school's been around, most schools have been around for at least 40, 50 years. So for some of the neighborhoods, they're responsible actually for some of the product that's being put on the street. Now, we get a mix. Everything is not bad, but we come from an area of low income. We don't have the same opportunities as far as infrastructure, as far as businesses or anything, so we don't have the same resources to pull from. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that are we doomed, or do you see a solution for inner city education, or should all people move out to the suburbs and then they'll transfer those resources from the suburbs into the city? You know, it's like a catch-22.
Well, I think there are some solutions. It won't happen overnight. Here's the thing. What needs to happen first is that the parents have to take initiative. If it's not going to come from the school, because you have your children in these schools, and it can take one to teach one. And it's going to take some time. It's not going to ever happen overnight. Nothing happens just overnight. We do need to invest in our inner city youth. We need to invest in their future because, unfortunately, these are the same children that are going to be taking care of us later. So if we don't invest in them, then we're going to be in trouble later. So you need to write, you need to go downtown, and you need to raise holy hell. You need to go to the school board because, see, these meetings are open to the public. When they have town hall meetings, we need to get involved. When they have their budget meetings, those are open. A lot of those things are open to the public. But because we don't show up, then we are not accounted. If you're not going to be accounted and accountable, then the accountability first starts on at home. Because the parents are the first teachers, even before the schools open.
Well, you're correct about that.
The parents have to be the first teacher.
Unfortunately, you have a lot of parents who don't quite have an education themselves. I mean, some parents only emphasize getting a trade so you can learn how to make some money, you can learn how to be a mechanic or learn some vocation, but as far as looking beyond that and getting an education that you can actually earn from for the rest of your life, not many parents are able to visualize it because they weren't able to do it themselves. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that in order to educate the children, you have to also educate their parents.
Yes, you do. And then, you know what, then my next person that I would hold accountable, which is flourishing, especially in impoverished neighborhoods, the local church. the local church needs to take responsibility. If these people are in your church, then you need to educate them because you have their ear. They're there every Sunday. Their children are there. So that is the opportunity for the local church to take responsibility for their parishioners.
Well, yeah, they should, since most of the parishioners are actually taking responsibility to help finance the local church.
That's
the unfortunate thing is that most, unfortunately, a lot of the parishioners as well as the administrators in local churches basically have a major concern with their building, their bills, and to be facetious, their Cadillacs. You know,
well,
so,
and you're right. But then here's the thing. It's always going to be passing the buck. So let me take 1 second. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday. In this segment, we have real talk, real life issues, no holds barred, where you get a chance to rant and rave all about financial pitfalls, the economy, the educational system, whatever it is, it's all about facing the facts and telling the truth. You can join us in the chat room. It is open for you. And you can also call in. Our phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And I'm going to take another phone call. Could you please hold on tight?
Simon?
Yes. I'll be with you in just a second. Let me check the chat room.
Okay.
But those of you all in the chat room and those of you all who are on Twitter and Facebook, give me 1 second. I'll get to you and I'll get to your question. Hold that thought, Ron. Let me add one more person to the line. Area code 803. You have been patiently waiting. How are you this evening?
Yes, it's Thomas calling from Charlotte.
Hi, Thomas from Charlotte. How are you? Do you have a rant and rave, or would you like to comment on what we're already talking about?
I kind of came in late, so I didn't hear the entire conversation. But I don't know. I'm just tired of all of the games and chicanery that goes on with politics. You know, I'm one of those people that I think. Yeah, I've become more cynical as I age, and unfortunately, I mean, no matter who you vote for, it's more of the same. There's no politician that's really going to stand for anything of principle, and at the end of the day, money is the milk of politics, and so I think we just have to be honest about that, about what really matters. The reason, you know, black people in this country don't have the same type of leverage as others because we just don't own anything.
Exactly. For
period, point blank. We don't have a unified community anywhere. We don't have any semblance of ownership. We don't. So we've been in this country 400 years. We don't own 13% of the assets. We don't own 13% of the insurance companies. We don't own 13% of anything. The largest black bank is worth maybe about $500 million. Maybe.
And that is you're so right about that. We have not acquired any wealth.
Yeah, you know why that is. It's a social cultural issue. And you mentioned the church. You know, for the black community, the church plays a big factor, and it doesn't play a big positive factor when it comes to developing socially in this country. Actually,
Amen.
It plays a negative factor in developing in this country. And it's not just about educating the parents to help the children become more educated. There's many immigrant families that come over with no education, no command of the language whatsoever, but they foster their child's education. They promote the schools and institutions that they put their children into, and they push their children to succeed, and their children do succeed. In the African-American community, there's a different type of culture, a different type of bias that's concerned, maybe an overprotection, maybe a shielding from society, maybe the lack of integration, the lack of allowing their children to integrate with the American culture. When there's two separate cultures going on, it doesn't make sense. There has to be one American culture, and the children have to be a part of it.
No, that's not it. That's actually just the first thing from the truth. That the issue is that, number one, their story is not our story. So you can't, this is like if you were to go to counseling and you would tell someone, okay, Joey Rivera, you know, got beat by his mother. Okay, what does that have to do with you? Their story is not our story. So those people that come from Haiti, you know, those people have a different culture. They were the first successful slave revolt. So mentally, they don't have the same impediments. So that's number one. Number two, this whole concept of America being this patched quilt that works is an absolute farce. So it's the biggest lie that ever was told.
Absolutely.
In fact, everything that you see right now is a result of the conservatives who, quote-unquote, is nothing more than the Whig Party reinvented, and it was all about basically keeping the hold of assets and making sure that they can keep a stranglehold on all control of all the factors of production, education, everything else. We've been indoctrinated in this country, and you can even go back to the miseducation of the Negro, or Carter G. Woodson, okay? Mm-hmm. We talked about if a man, even if, you know, even if you basically give him the ability to be free, he'll find a way to still be controlled after he's been told how to be controlled. And that's it, basically what we have right now. I mean, it's been proven, for instance, in our education system, you look at a city like New York, right? They have what's called tracking. Now, there's schools in New York that are Ivy League schools that you have to pay $40,000 a year to go to. Now, not only do they have smaller class sizes, they also know that a child at the ages of between somewhere between 4 and 12, 4 and 13, that their talents and their abilities are really when they start to blossom. And so they do what's called tracking. They basically put them in a certain, you know, track to make sure that they fully develop those skills and abilities so that way they can, you know, be, you know, productive as they grow.
Sure. Like, you know, programming their biocomputer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, because there's several different types of intelligences. So this whole concept of, you know, one size fits all, it just doesn't work because...
No, it doesn't
number
work.
One, you know, because number one, you know, like, for instance, there's a lot of children that they, for instance, may put in classes and consider them to be slow, and that's not that they're slow. They have a different type of learning style. So rather than try to cater that child learning style, let's say he's slow. Some children are audible learners. Some
that's
children
true.
Are audible learners and they're kinesthetic. Some children are audible, kinesthetic, and visual. So not only do they have to see it, hear it, and they have to feel it. Now, some teachers, you know, use the Socratic method where, if you talk about, was it the lady in Chicago, Marva Gibbs was her name, or Marva
Collins.
Collins. Collins, yeah, she had the, you know, one of the charter schools that first started. And she used the Socratic method, and she had great success with it, even though she had very little money. You know, so
that's
they know
the
these
point.
Things work. That's why I have a big problem with magnet schools. I have a big problem with charter schools because when I went to a magnet school, they brought in the Secretary of Education from D.C. at the time. It was during the Reagan administration, William something or another. He's a guy who said it was better to abort black babies. But anyway, that's besides the point. Because crime would go down. But the whole point of the matter is that they know what works. So if 25 years ago that magnet school was the example of what public education could be like in an urban setting, why hasn't anything gotten better in 25 years?
Well, part of it, I would like to jump in and say, is we forget the thing that you're speaking of, tracking. Another word for that is also programming. It's been bragged upon by certain aspects of the government that they have a programming, a tracking method, a programming method for each individual walking on this planet. And unfortunately, most of the programming that we've experienced through the media, through our relationships with people, through our history of slavery, all of these things have always led to a negative situation. We are definitely not equal in terms of the programming that we receive. And our brains are just like biocomputers. If whatever program you put in, the result will be whatever programming you got. It's only
hold on one second, guys. Let me, if you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday. I want to give you the phone number. You can tweet us. You can Facebook chat us. And the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Ron, you've been trying to get in on the conversation, and you've been patient. So could you state what your question or comment is real quick?
Okay, now, I wanted to make, I know you're talking about education right now, but I wanted to make a statement. The statement I wanted to make was about the church not getting involved in what's going on in the black community. Well, what is happening is this. Have you ever noticed whenever something happens and they're speaking and some church, some minister does come up, it's always, it's just one church. The churches do not get to, now you have more than one church in the black community. There are a number of churches. But they don't, the churches do not, Reverend Jones does not get together with Reverend Smith and Reverend Johnson and Reverend so-and-so and Reverend Hoobly-Gop and say, okay, let's go to City Hall and try to get so-and-so and such-and-such done. Let's go down to the Board of Education and try to get something done for that.
Okay.
They don't get together. It's always just one church.
That institution is not designed to bring people together. It's actually designed to keep us separated and pulled apart.
That is true. It's all about ego. The problem is every church wants to be number one, and if it's not their minister or their idea, they're not going to back someone else's idea. So it's all about ego stroking instead of looking at the bigger picture. Now,
but
Eric,
that's part of the design.
You're right.
To compete with each other for the limited resources in the black community.
Okay,
so they're never going to cooperate.
Let me add one more person to our conversation. She has been patiently waiting. Area code 708-263. You are on the air. Hello? Well, okay, I can't hear you. Please keep trying. I know you have been in the chat room and also said that you wanted to get in the conversation. So we'll wait for her again, but you all can keep the conversation. We have just a little bit of time left. And you all are so right in regards to the church. And unfortunately, no matter what happens, it is designed that way. It is designed to divide and conquer so that nothing gets done.
And control the mind.
Nothing is getting done. And you only hear from your politicians when it's time for us to vote. And that's unfortunate. Even the politicians will visit all of these many vast churches in the community. No matter what the denominations are, they will come and visit and try to coerce us into voting for them. And they'll court us then, but then after we have cast our vote and put these people in power, we don't hear from them unless they need us. So basically,
well,
we are being pimped.
Well, see, politics is a word that's divided into two parts. Poly meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking insects. So, politics, okay.
Thank you. That's so true.
I would have to agree with that. You know what? On that note, let us take our little comedy break. I was going to do this later in the show, but I guess we could do this right now. Speaking about politics, we have a funny comedy break, and we will be right back right after this.
I've had it with all the Republicans. I've had it with Democrats too. The President, Congress, and talking heads, they none of them know what to do. But I've got a simple solution for our screwed up economy. These bailouts and buyouts and stimulus packages, just give the money to me. Just give the money to me, you bums. It'll work out, wait and see. No way I can do any worse than you. Just give the money to me. First thing I'll do is I'll pay off every mortgage and credit card. The banks still get bailouts, but now so do we. There now, was that so hard? And everyone gets health insurance. your medical care is in place. If you lose your job or need pricey drugs or Dick Cheney shoots you in the face, just give the money to me, you clowns. I'm slightly more honest than thee. You've had your shot, now here's more cash. Not, just give the money to me. We'll bring back the factories and help desks from wherever the hell they all went. And companies can either employ people here or we'll tax them 10,000%. They'll have to stop all their polluting from every pipe, chimney, and vent. And those who refuse can just breathe their own fumes. I hope they've got a lemon fresh scent. Just give the money to me, you fools. Deposit it directly. This way it should do somebody some good. Just give the money to me. Imagine a world without money, where no one's in desperate need, where food, shelter, and entertainment aren't subject to somebody's greed. I hope that someday we can get there. Till then, I know better than you. And if I should empty a Best Buy or three, consider it only my due. Just give the money to me, you rubes. I'll salvage our economy. I might take some perks, but hey, whatever works. Just give the money to me, oh. Just give the money to me, you bums. I'll prove to you freedom ain't free. No way I can do any worse than you. Just give the money to me. No way I can do much worse than you. Just give the money to me.
Well, I agree with him. I think that they should give the money to us. I think we can do a lot better than they've done. We'll solve a lot of our problems. But no, seriously, if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. It's all about Tough Talk Tuesday. You get a chance to get your rant and rave on basically any topic. Tonight we've been talking about the lottery. We've been talking about the educational system. We've been talking about politics in the church and what they're not doing. But last but not least, I want to end the show with this person just emailed this last week. They wanted to know. They said a relative stole their identity, ran up $25,000 in credit card debt, $3,000 in utility bills, and bought a car in their name. What should they do? Well,
I'm fitted for a striped jumpsuit.
Well, I definitely
a pine box.
Right, or a pine box. I definitely agree with all of that, but there are some things that you can do because unfortunately, a lot of people are becoming victims of identity theft. And it's not just some company that has gotten a hold of your Social Security number. It's usually somebody that you know. And that is the most unfortunate part about this, is that person being a victim of identity theft, and it's a relative at that, which is even worse. But one of the first things that you do need to do is report that your identity has been stolen. And you can easily do that by going to FTC.gov. That is the government's website for recovering your identity and to report identity theft. And they have steps that you can take that's on the website. We're going to do a whole show on identity theft real soon. But the one thing that you definitely need to do to take steps to cover yourself is to report the fact that your identity has been stolen. You need to get a copy of all three credit bureau credit reports on you. You can go to TransUnion. Their phone number is 1-800-680-7289. Let me give you that again. It's 1-800-680-7289, and that's TransUnion. Equifax's phone number is 800-525-6285. Again, that is 800-525-6285. And experience number is 888-397-3742. That is 888-397-3742. We will have a chance to actually give you hands-on what to do beyond just what I gave you if you email me at sylshow@att.net. That is Secure Your Life email address. That is S as in Susan, Y as in Yo-Yo, L as in Larry, the word show, S-H-O-W, at att.net. And you can email me directly, and I will send you all of the information on how to protect yourself from identity theft. But back to our rant and rave, I'm going to give area code 734 a chance to have their rant. You're on the air. I hope you're there now. Okay, if not, then we'll keep moving on. Area code 847, do you have a last rant or rave or a comment that you'd like to share?
Yes. I think that a lot of growth has gone on in the African-American community as far as making advances through education. I think education is the big key, and it would be good if the churches were behind all of that. In a lot of suburban communities, what you find is that a lot of funding for education, educational infrastructure actually comes from the property taxes, and that's a large reason why in the poor communities where the property taxes are very low, there's not a lot of extra money that can go into the educational system. That's why I don't think it would be pertinent for those that are paying a lot of money to live in more affluent communities to have their money sent into poor communities. But in the big scale of things, it really would help. But people aren't going to see it that way. It would help balance out the community in a good way, but it's not going to happen that way. What needs to happen is the community itself, the culture of the community, has to embrace education. Whether the parents are educated or not, they have to understand that education is the key and is the ticket for their children to grow that community or even to expand outside that community. And exposure is a big thing. African Americans and other cultures have a need to let their children learn about other cultures and learn about America and learn the history that they came from so that they can jump ahead and embrace the world that's around them and not just the local community in which they grew up in. There's so many people that have been confined to their community, and that's all they know. They don't go to the museums. They don't go to the arts. They don't participate in any of the events that's around even the city of Chicago or other cities, and this needs to be expanded.
That
well,
is true.
I'd like to say in addition to that, that we also have to understand, and I don't mean to start another argument, but we've already invested as a group of people into this country for over 400 years, two shifts, 6 days a week. So, I mean, even if there are affluent cities and communities, they've already benefit from our efforts. So we should be getting something back. And I think that almost everybody should be contributing because it builds the entire culture of America. We're the base of the culture, and a lot of our thoughts and ideas are exported throughout the world. So it would be beneficial for everybody if we could become more educated. And, yes, somebody has to pay for it because it can't stay like this.
That is true, though. We only have 1 minute left. We can continue our conversation, but for those of you all who joined us tonight live on the air, I would like to thank you all for listening. Please tune in tomorrow where we'll have some great tips on those of you all who are in business for yourself or would like to go into business for yourself. Tomorrow is business in the making. But thank you for joining me for Tough Talk Tuesday, where you get a chance to get your rant and rave on. For those of you all who are in the chat room or on the line, if you would like to keep the conversation going, we can do that. But for those of you all who are joining us live, we will talk to you all tomorrow. And good night to everyone that is with us live. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Diamond.
Oh, good night.
confess, so sad I bought that yellow bean. Oh,